room, you can't move, you can't speak. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this this like shadowy demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut, so then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears, it had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer.
Wow, guys. Welcome back to Let's Get Freaky Podcast. I'm saying well because not even started the interview yet and I'm already got my mind blown because we are very lucky to have Isaac back with us tonight from Hidden in the Shadows podcast. He's back for his trilogy. He's been on two episodes already and they've both blown my mind. Great episodes, super interesting stuff. You've experienced a lot of paranormal and hopefully we're going to hear some more tonight, man. But you've just blown my mind just before the show there.
Yeah, because I guess you forgot the first time we talked because about whatever's going on in your room with your scaring the crap out of your kids and stuff like that. So, yeah. Of course, I know I talked about in the first episode that my ability, the Shadow Walker or War Shaman or Ashwakana Tanka ability, whatever you want to put in front of it, allows me to reach through screens like how we're talking now, as long as it's real time, and grab whatever is in a room or in a house or in an area space, as long as I can be pointing the camera in a direction. And this is how I do all my home cases, which I'm up to 33 home cases now.
Wow, man.
No, 34. I'm sorry, I had one the other day. Yeah, 34. 34 home cases.
Yeah.
Wow. I think woman named Cindy, who is she listened to the show from not your show, listened to Spooked Coast to Coast with 305 Paranormal and JJ Paranormal.
Yeah.
They do like their own kind of show because they're on opposite ends of the coast,
awesome.
Yeah. Cali. Yeah, but no, I helped her out with some dark entities. But what's strange about hers is, It was human spirits. And when I was talking to her, something came from in her bedroom, very big, and like peeked into her phone. Like, what the hell is she talking to? Right?
Yeah.
Granted, I didn't see it. I felt it. I felt it coming. And I was like, I grabbed it. And she said that whatever was in her room was being it was the most violent. And this is after I took it. Because whatever it was just starting to come at us. And I was like, oh, looks like we're starting already. And I have to work fast, otherwise the others start getting, you know, oh crap, and they start running away.
Yeah.
But the part two, or the other part of the whole me taking clearing places is that Megan will put a shield around a home, not allowing them to leave, therefore giving me a chance to get them all. But she didn't have me practice with something of pulling majority of spaces at one time. Yeah, because I was able to pull a couple city blocks, or a block, not city blocks, a one block, maybe like a, I don't know, five houses in radius, if I'm touching the ground in one spot and pulling up, pulling all at one time. But with her, I wanted to see if I could do that through the phone. And yeah, I was able to pull four houses at once.
Wow.
It was painful.
Powerful stuff.
Yeah. Now, the weirdest pull I ever did was I was talking to someone like how we're talking now, and he showed me a screen of his mom who was in another country. So he was in Florida, not Florida. He was in Hawaii, and she was in Belize. So I reached through my phone, through his phone, into her place and pulled like three places at once. I traveled miles. Man. To do that. That was like the weirdest thing ever. Because I felt like it moved from her place into his place and then from his place in the mind. That was like the most, we call it Inception style pull I've ever done. Like layers. That was weird.
So interesting, man.
But what got from your place, like, was a hag kind of entity.
Yeah, which is terrifying. If I just do a little backstory of where I am at the moment, I think I spoke about it on the show before. But basically, I've moved to a new room in the house, which is now my studio for the podcast. It was originally my two daughters' bedroom. They shared the room. They had bunk beds in here, and they were sleeping in here, obviously. But they were having really bad nights sleeps in here. They were waking up during the night, getting bad feelings, seeing possibly shadow figures and stuff like that, and just not enjoying being in this room, having bad nightmares very often. And more often than not, they'd end up on the floor in our room or in our bed, you know, because I experienced stuff as a kid. I sort of, I don't know if I listened to it more maybe, but anyway, I decided to take them out of this room and put them in the room next door. And so now I'm in the haunted room, which I don't particularly get too much of a bad vibe from. My wife did. Obviously, the kids did. I did have a weird experience on one occasion in this room when they woke up during the night one night and called us into the room. And I was like, guys, it's okay. I'm going to sleep on the floor. You haven't got to worry about anything. I'll just lay here. Don't worry. So that sort of helped them to go back to sleep. But while I was laying there, obviously, I was just going to lay there, let them go back to sleep, and then go back into my room. I was looking down the hallway, the door was open, and I was like, show yourself. If there's anything here, let's see you. You know, I was sort of opening up to, you know, and I don't know if I manifested this or whatever it was, I saw the shape of a face down the hallway. And it sort of started floating towards me. And it sort of looked like a skull, is how I can describe it. And you could see the indents where the eyes are, and you could sort of make out the facial features a little bit. But it was very black. It was dark. And then it was just a head like floating towards me, and then it disappeared. And I was like, well, that was very strange. You know, that's not cool. So that's what I've experienced in this room. So there was definitely something going on. I've also had Zoe Quinn, who's a very good friend of the show, a very good friend of mine. She got a vibe that there was something in the corner of the room. And she messaged me saying, there's something in the corner of your room. And then obviously, we was talking just before we started recording, and you was like, hold out your right arm. And that's exactly where like the corner of the room is, where Zoe picked up something and you've just picked up something. And I'm like, wow, man, mind blown.
Yeah, whatever it wasn't afraid. But then again, it didn't even know what it was looking at, right? Because most spirits are, I don't know if any of them are afraid of, I don't see anyone when it comes to situations when, you know, light workers clearing out locations and stuff like that. Because when my tendrils come through, they have no idea what it is. They just see red strings of energy moving around, like undulating around it, kind of like feeling around where they are. I go, that dark entity, like, what the hell is that? And all of a sudden it grabs them and wraps and pulls them in there. And then they're like, they're freaking out.
Yeah.
So it wasn't moving, whatever it was in your room, but with a hag thing, essentially, that took away. But that was interesting because most of the time when my tendrils go in, they back up, they start like moving around. Like, I don't know what this is. I don't want it near me. Especially like the more stronger dark entities, i.e. demons and stuff like that, they tend to back up real quick and move around, especially when I start taking them. Like all of a sudden, like, oh crap, and then they start like, okay, the jig is up, something's happening, and they don't understand what's going on. And they start running. But no, yours was interesting because it kind of stood there. It was the first one in a long time of me doing this that anyone just went kind of stood there before I took it.
Interesting.
But what's interesting is that after our last episode where I talked about my ranch and the quantum bleeding thing, I was re-listening to it and I didn't realize something beforehand. And you actually gave me some new theories that I didn't think of before. The deer that ran at the fence when I was walking up to my uncle's place, and we were wondering why a random deer would attack me, right? I felt dumb. I didn't see this beforehand. We said my ranch apparently has everything underneath the sun when it comes to haunted things, right? That most likely was a skinwalker.
Yeah.
Because why would a normal deer run at somebody, hit to the fence, and then run away after getting basically discombobulated, and also be extremely silent?
Yeah, yeah, man.
Yeah.
It definitely fits that, yeah, for sure.
So I was like, that's a better that's a better reason why versus it just, you know, sneaking up on me and not, you know, running right at me, because it would have hit me if I wasn't, if the fence wasn't there.
Yeah, but man.
The other one that I figured out, but the incident happened with my friend Matt, right? Hearing the foot stomps next to the car and in the distance, next to the car and in the distance. You were saying that how big steps, like heavy steps, to me as a kid could sound like hoof stomps or somebody else. Because that's the only thing heavy enough I can think of. But remember you saying something about how Bigfoot, when they walk around, it sounds like that.
Yep.
So that gave me the idea. What if there were two Bigfoots, one next to Matt's car and one off in a distance, and they were communicating?
Yeah.
And then when Matt moved from the front seat to the back, what was standing next to the car? Well, oh, there's somebody in there. And then that's when it hit the nail and... And we flicked a porch light on, it ran off.
Yeah, because you was having these, whatever this was, walking around the house as well.
Yeah.
Man, which is very Sasquatch related, how you was explaining it. That's how it sounded to me.
Yeah.
Interesting, man.
Yeah, I was thinking about that afterwards. I was like, wait a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's
That's what's cool about sharing paranormal experiences. Like, because people see things differently, give you different ideas. Like, I had an experience when I was a kid where I saw what I thought was my mum walk past me, a naked lady, blonde lady, walk past me in my house. And I just thought it was my mum. So I started talking to her and she went into the ensuite, her bathroom. I followed her in and there was no one there. So whatever I saw looked like my mum. And I just put it down as being an entity that perhaps looked like my mum. But then I was talking to some guys last night exploring with Phil, mentioned that maybe that was a doppelganger. And maybe I saw something imitating my mum, which is very possible. And I never thought of that. I never thought that that's what it could be. It could be. It could have been that. It's interesting, man, when you put your ideas, your you know, people's different ideas on what this could be.
Yeah. Because I didn't even think about it beforehand. And then because, well, I didn't even think of the first incident here, the screaming in the woods and then whatever running away, something like had big feet that I didn't think at the time it was a Bigfoot until I talked to a Bigfoot enthusiast. And he was like, no, dude, that's Bigfoot. That's the way you sounded screaming, the way it ran away. And I was like, oh, shit. And now that I add in the idea of how you describe how they walk, and then like, wait a second, could that have been two Bigfoots, one in the distance, one next to the car, like communicating through stops? Because you always heard about Bigfoots like hitting trees, right? Yeah. As a sense of communication. So I was like, maybe that was way the Sasquatch in like middle Texas communicates. So there's not a lot of trees that hit. I mean, granted, they're trees, but none of them are really like, if you hit it with a stick, you might break it.
Yeah.
Not very thick trees. But
Have you had any other Bigfoot experiences with Sasquatch or anything like that?
Not here.
Not yet.
And I'm in the woods a lot here. Like, well, 90% of my investigations with our paranormal team is in the woods because we can't find any place that's indoors for us to investigate. So I'm in the woods a lot, and I've never heard any animals, never heard any, you know, any Bigfoots, anything else besides Native American spirits and stuff like that. The weirdest thing was we were investigating a place called Pringle Road. And I'll call it hunting road. It's more like a ranger's, because the Croatoan National Forest, where it is. But it's more like a ranger's road, in a sense like that. Because, like, I guess the rangers use it when they're, surveying Croatoan National Forest. And there's a spot where we parked off the side of the road in front of this big electric power unit. I guess the military uses it or something. But we found a trail behind it. And it has a road, and that road actually connects to, if you take it far enough, to another place that's near where we also investigated called Patsy's Pond. But this place where we're at, just in the woods, you know, any kind of woods or forest or woods around here. And I pulled something from the earth one of the first times we were there. And when I stood up, I looked up into the trees and I saw it looked like a lantern, but it was like all the way at the top of the trees, which had to be like two stories up. And it was floating there. And I got the vision of like me looking at like a two-story house and somebody's window had a light in it. That's what it looked like first. And then the light started moving through the trees up in the treetops. Like I said, these trees are super tall, so it had to be two stories up in the air. Yeah. And the thing is, the other investigator with me, Mike, he saw it too. He was like, what is that? I don't know. See it? And we started following it. And it started taking us to the road where the car was parked. And it disappeared on the other side of the road, where there's another, of course, more forest and woods. But it was up there. And it looked like a lantern, like the same glow of a lantern, but it was just floating way up into the treetops.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a lot of, with Bigfoot activity as well, a lot of people do claim to see orbs, lights. You know, that seems to be connected in some cases to Sasquatch. I guess that's more of a supernatural side of it. I don't know. But what's your thoughts on what Bigfoot is?
Funny, we did an episode, actually a two-parter, because I didn't realize there's this information about Bigfoot. But then again, there are podcasts dedicated just to Bigfoot. So I was ignorant in that knowledge. But I remember when we talked about him before, my original theory, and kind of still is, amongst maybe it's a natural animal, but you have to believe one theory to almost accept this one. Yeah. And the original theory is, if you believe that human race was created by the Anunnaki or some other alien species that, you know, generated the humans to be a slave race to mine gold or whatever, all that theory for 100 times. I was always saying, well, what if Bigfoot was a failed experiment? What if they were trying to get the formula right, get humanity and the humans, they were experimenting with different other species on the planet with their own, and they got Bigfoot, and they're like, it's too big. It might actually try to kill us, and it's not very bright. All right, throw it in the woods. I don't care. And they basically dumped it, and it survived. And it survived and spawned, and it did beyond what they were thinking would happen. Hence created the North American ape, or the Sasquatch, from where it was. And they got the formula right with us. You know? I started thinking maybe it's like a failed experiment that didn't go right, and they got dumped it off, and then, of course, it started to evolve and grow and then survive in the woods.
Yeah. So do you think these creatures would be a flesh and blood creature, no supernatural side to it, or?
Well, who knows?
Yeah.
If our DNA is mixed with the Homo sapien, the Homo erectus, mixed with the Anunnaki's DNA, which created us, the Homo sapien, we're intelligent, we're fast, but we also have abilities, right? My ability, other psychic mediums you've spoken to, other light workers, people with abilities that are extremely outlandish. Why wouldn't a Bigfoot have a similar abilities of some kind, or something far more than us? Maybe that's why we don't have skeletons. Maybe their skeleton dissolves, or they figure out a way to, I don't know, generate the skeleton of one into another one. Like maybe their reproduction process works with the death of one creates another.
Yeah.
And it kind of starts over again. Like imagine that, like a Bigfoot body dissolving and there's a little baby Bigfoot inside the big body. And then it starts over again and over again and over again.
Yeah, man. And but who then there knows? Would
be the numbers never go depleted. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah. there could be a science that we just don't, like a natural science that we don't understand, a natural biological thing that these things can do that we can't understand yet, because we can't imagine what that is, but it might be just a natural, you know? Who knows, man? But it's interesting.
Yeah, after doing the Bigfoot series, me and my wife, like, okay, we don't think there isn't a Bigfoot. The most likely could be, because I mean, there's enough sightings, but most it's probably, you put it at, is like an animal with intelligence level up to a human, right? And maybe they've learned to evolve in a different way than us, but they've also learned to fear us, because we might have hunted and killed like millions of them, and then they got fearful of humanity, so they hide in the deepest parts of the woods where most humans don't go. And then if those humans get too close, they kill them. Hence why people go missing.
Yeah.
So
the missing 411.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah. These creatures, they're obviously in their natural environment. They, you know, outsmart us in every way. Like we don't stand a chance. You know, they can. We've got no chance in their environment. That's for sure.
Yeah, when I think of them, it reminds me of that line from, I think it's War for Planet of the Apes. When the soldiers are talking, like, they don't get cold. The soldiers talk about the apes. They don't get cold. They don't need rest. They're stronger than us physically and stuff like that. Basically talking about how they can go into the woods and live in the cold areas like that without any clothes, essentially, because they can survive out there, and how we need, like, layers and layers of protection and stuff like that for survival, and this is their element, so.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Interesting stuff, man. I want to get back to, we're going to move on from it, but back to the hag in my room because that has really freaked me out. Because you said it possibly came through, because obviously I'm talking to different people every day. You know, you said this possibly came through from another interview that I done.
Well, when I take something and I put it in the ring, like I talked about in the first episode, the prison that I built for them. In the ring, I can essentially interrogate them to get information out of them. But if they're unwilling to, you know, converse with me after, you know, damaging them, I can almost go into their mind forest the same way I go into other people's mind forests. Granted, a spirit's mind forest is a whole other place. It's not like someone alive's mind forest. It's almost like I'm looking through time and memories of the same. It's very chaotic. It's trying to make sense of a lot of things. But what I got is, when I was referring to you, all I saw was an image of it looking at you through a screen and then being where you are. So it was with somebody else. And whoever that somebody else was picked them up from, it looked like a graveyard. So whoever, someone you talked to, might have been an investigator, someone, investigator enthusiast-ish, might have picked it up from a graveyard. It followed them, liked how whatever you had, which I'm thinking now, theorizing, if you were plagued with hags before, you might have been marked as one person who could be affected by them. And it saw something in you that it could, oh, this one's been marked before. I could get some stuff out of this guy. And it followed you. That's why I stayed in your room, or this room where you are in, because this is the room you conjugate the most. You spend a lot of time there.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Man. Yeah, because going back, I've talked about it on the show before, but I used to get really bad sleep paralysis where I used to live. It was a weekly occurrence, sometimes more. You know, it could happen once, twice, three times a week. It happened very often. It was very rare that it wasn't happening. It was at least once a week. And I was always getting attacked by, you know, I didn't know what it was really. I didn't really understand it. It's only more now that I'm really understanding it more. But at the time, I just thought it was a normal thing. You know, I thought, and I know a lot of people do experience it, but I was getting attacked by something very regularly. And in my mind's eye, I could see, and I sort of just knew that it was a hag. It was this, that's how I saw it in my head. That's what it was to me. That's how I felt. And I was battling against this, whatever this thing was, all the time, you know. And it was, so that when you said hag, it sent shivers down my spine, man. I was like, oh, wow. So, yeah.
I've had my own experience with them before, here, actually, in this house, this room. Because my bed's literally like right over there. And my wife was actually the one to see it. She actually walked into the room one night and saw a hag sitting on my chest as I was sleeping. Right. Because Megan, of course, my wife, other co-host of Hidden Shadows, she's a very talented psychic medium. And she saw it, and she basically, like, in her words, psychically socked, like punched her off of me and then woke me up. And I remember waking up, go, what? Like, there's a hag on you. I'm like, what? Where? And I remember waking up and then reaching out, because like this is when I was pulling. And I ended up, she ran away fast enough that all I basically grabbed was like the back of her dress, like ripped off a piece of it, and I took it, and I'm like, oh, I guess it was nothing. And I tell her, she ran off. I'm like, well, it's like, well, it'll happen again. It's before my wife learned how to shield us in our house. Like, nothing gets in anymore. But yeah, I remember she told me that. And then when she showed up again, she got close enough. And I was like, I was about to fall asleep, and then my right hand started charging. And I felt it. The energy starts small and getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger and getting bigger. And I was like, oh, okay, I'll let her get close. I'll let her think I'm asleep. And she got close enough, and my hand, like a quick draw, boom, right? I grabbed her, and I pulled her, and I put her in the ring. Well, sorry, this is before I had the ring. I was still pulling entities into myself and filtering. But what happened is when I pulled her in, she didn't filter. She was around and here somewhere. So I meditated, and I went to my mind forest, and then I asked, I only had one spirit guide at the time. Where is she? Where is she? He goes, I don't know. He said, look in the basement. I was like, what? I don't have a basement. And I just like, I focused and I like looking for her. And all of a sudden I found her in like a boiler room. And there was like a giant like furnace fire, like the old school ones. You could open the door, it's like a fire burning in there and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the fire was blue. And I remember grabbing her by the back of her neck. And I remember saying, bitch, you get filtered like the rest. And I threw her into the blue fire and slammed the door behind her.
Wow, man.
And wow. That was the only time that something that I pulled and trying to filter to my body that got loose, I would say. But luckily, no more than a week after that incident, that's when the older psychic on the team, Mike, he had the vision of the King Solomon symbol. Hence giving me an idea for the ring, and then everything I pulled after that was, of course, putting things in the ring. So she was kind of like the thing I really filtered in my body.
So did you transfer everything from your body to the ring?
Well, anything I grab, it stays right here in the hand, and then I, into the ring, I push the energy into the ring. Yeah. And it doesn't go through me anymore.
Man.
Yeah. Which is a lot safer. It halts the what was happening to me at the time, aging the right side of my face.
Man.
Yeah.
But you could see a difference in one side of your face.
Well, my wife, she noticed that a lot of, granted, I have gray hairs now, but she noticed a lot of gray hairs started popping on the right side of my beard and the right side of my head and my hair. And like, why is it only the right side? Right? Because it's the hand that I pull dark energy with.
Yeah.
So that practice was actually aging me. So she was like, you got to figure out another way to do this. I'm like, what else am I going to do? And then, of course, Mike had that vision and I had the idea, and then, the rest is history at this point. But no, it's where I have gray hair now, it's even throughout my hair and in my beard. So it's not like one direct place that it's coming from.
Yeah.
And this is just because of stress, and I'm looking at 40 closer now every day.
I feel you, brother. I've got the same. I've got a few gray hairs coming through.
Well, yours can hide in that red hair. Mine, black. It stands out a lot more.
Mine sort of go blondie at first, and then I guess they go white. I'm not sure, but yeah. I get the Santa Claus look.
Yeah. I mean, he's a twirly mustache.
Yeah. So that witch in that was attacking you, was that in a sleep paralysis? Was that a sleep paralysis attack?
I was asleep, but I've only ever had two sleep paralysis incidents in my life. And this is a perfect segue to talk about the ranch. If whoever is listening to this episode will listen to the second part. Why would you watch a third movie without watching the first two?
Yeah, you've got to see the other two first, guys. You really do.
But I talk about the ranch being one of the most infamous haunted places that I lived at. Yes. But if there's a close second, it is the Spring Branch house that me and my wife lived at when we first were dating. And we kind of first lived together in. And it's a small, it was a trailer essentially, but a double wide, like four bedrooms, a kitchen. It had its own small room. And we would make five bedrooms, but we kind of use it as like an entertainment room. It didn't have any windows. So that's why we use it for the entertainment room. So you can turn the TV on, like I have a movie theater kind of room. But it's weird because it was up on a hill, and behind it was a farm if you went past the fence line far enough. And it was literally no more than like 50 yards from the highway. Like you step out the porch, you see the highway right there and cars passing by. So we didn't understand why this place was so heavily haunted. And it started with small things. Seeing ghosts, seeing shadows, hearing a little girl's voice behind me like say my name, like right in my ear when I was watching TV one time. And I literally like turned around and thought maybe it was one of Megan's sisters, because we were living with her parents at this house at the same time. We were planning to move out, but then we just got married and moved over here. So we decided to live in Texas after that. But we were planning to get our own place in San Antonio, but then we decided to get married and move this way. So that's how we didn't end up staying there. But while we were living there, her dad was a trucker, so he was gone most of the time. So I was the only guy there majority of the time with her sisters. She had two sisters. One was 16 at the time. Her youngest was about 10. But it started with small things like that. And one of the most scary things happened, speaking of doppelgangers, Megan's sister, the middle sister, saw Megan walk down the hall, go from the bathroom into her bedroom, which is at the end of the house, and she yelled Megan's name, "Hey, Megan." And then Megan came behind Phyllis and said, "What?" And she screams, like, "How did you do that? I just saw you go into your bedroom." Like, "No, I've been right here behind you, in mom's room, her parents' room, which is in the opposite side of the house."
Yeah.
And they're like, "What?" And they literally walked down there, like freaked out, turned the lights on in the room, and nothing was in there.
Man.
But she literally saw her sister walk into the room, our bedroom that we were staying with. Because like her parents are one end and we were on the opposite end. And then right across our bedroom was the bathroom that was down there. So kind of like we had our own part of the house in a sense. But one of the scariest things that happened to us in that house is I remember one night I woke up and I was still working overnight at the time. I was working overnight. My schedule was 10 o'clock at night to 6 o'clock in the morning at a grocery store in Texas in the San Antonio area called HEB. Anyone who goes in Texas knows what I'm talking about. And I woke up around 3 o'clock in the morning. And I know because I looked at my phone. And I woke up to the sound of like scratching in the walls, like all these nails are scratching on the walls. And I was like, "What the heck?" And I thought maybe we have mice or rats in the walls. And then I remember when I opened my eyes, our ceiling fan was loud, like the wind was like whoop, 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 whoop. Like it was like loud. I was like, "What?" And I hear the scratching that going at the same time. And all of a sudden I felt like someone staring at me with like hatred. And I look up into the corner, up into the top corner of the bed. Opposite me, up in the corner to my right, and there was like a black mass, like a shadow there, with like tiny red eyes, like staring at me. Like imagine just the pupil of someone's eyes red, just staring at me from up there. And then I was like, "What?" And then I noticed, because Meg was sleeping on my shoulder, I see her start twitching in her sleep. Her eyes are closed, and she's like twitching, like someone's electrocuting her. And I did the first thing that came to my head at the time. I crossed her forehead, like how priests do when they give you blessings, right? And she instantly stopped. And then I felt like that heat and hatred, like just staring at me with more intensity as I looked up to what the black mass was. And then I remembered the witching hour. And I looked at my phone. I saw 3:59, boom, 4 o'clock, silence. Scratching stopped. Wow. The fan was spinning, of course, but it was like how a fan should sound. And yeah. I looked at the corner and black mass was gone.
Wow, man.
And I was like, "Do I go back to sleep?"
Yeah, no.
I think I stayed on my phone for like 30 minutes. I got tired enough and went back to sleep.
Yeah.
And I told Megan about it in the morning, and she was freaking out. And she got one of her mom's crucifixes and put it above our door just in case. That was kind of like the last time we ever dealt with anything that bad in that house. Granted, this is long before I had my ability. Megan was still kind of kept her abilities at bay, so she wasn't so prone with it. But yeah, I remember that was like the most intense thing that happened. Megan has had her own experiences. One time when she was out on a swing, and she had, there's a swing that her dad put together on one of the big trees, kind of like a tree swing, and she was swinging on it, and she felt someone push her, but not push her like trying to like swing her, trying to push her like off it, and the rope snapped, and she literally held on, but as she hit the ground, kind of like ate the dirt, like slammed into the ground, like dragged herself for a little bit, and she was freaking out, crying, ran into the house, right, like somebody was trying to attack her. Another thing that happened to her is that one night she was there by herself. Her sisters were off with their friends. Her mom was, I think, at work, and of course her dad traveled, and I was at work, so she's kind of by herself. No, sorry. Her mom was with her sisters, they were shopping. That's right. I was at work, and her dad was gone. and she had a dogs with her. And all of a sudden, she started hearing, it sounded like a whole bunch of people banging their hands on the side of the on the trailer walls. Like banging, 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 banging. And she was freaking out. Like, she literally was about to call me and tell me, hey, to come home and deal with this. And the dogs were barking at whatever it was. And, like, she was, like, debating whether or not to let the dogs out. But she didn't know whoever's out there would do what would they do to her dogs. So she didn't let them outside, but they're barking at the doors. And she was freaking freaked out. And all of a sudden, it stopped. It maybe lasted, like, 2 minutes. And she didn't. She walked outside with like a knife and a flashlight. Didn't see anything. Didn't see anybody. Didn't see any footprints either. Like that amount of people banging on the wall should have left a lot of track prints, or like in the dirt around the house.
Yeah.
Right. Well, my first when we were talking about sleep paralysis, my first sleep paralysis incident happened there. And I used to get it a lot while living there because my sleep schedule would be messed up. But I remember one time I had a dream, and in the dream I was standing in the hallway of the same house, and I could see Megan's family like looking for like looking in the house with flashlights, like the power's out, like they're looking for a fuse box or something. And I was about to yell out to them, "Hey guys!" But I couldn't speak. I was like I was trying to talk and I couldn't. And then I felt like there was a hand on my throat, like squeezing it shut. And I felt myself like falling backwards. And then I opened my eyes and I was sleeping on the bed. I was like my arms were crossed and I was laying on my side. And that's how I usually sleep. But I couldn't move. My eyes were open and my body was stuck. And I was like, and I couldn't see, but it felt like someone was standing like in front of me on the side of the bed. And then I felt these hands on my chest push me and guide me to my back while I was laying on my back. Right, like it had me, and I felt myself like move to my back.
Oh man!
And I was getting pissed off because like I don't want this to happen. Whoever this is, I'm gonna stop him. I remember I literally broke out of it and started swinging my hands in there, like ah, blah, blah. And Megan woke up like, "Oh, what's wrong?" I'm like, "Nothing. It's a bad dream."
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, "All right," and she went back to sleep.
That's such a weird feeling not to be able to move, and you know you. You feel like you can look around the room. When I had sleep paralysis, my eyes were open, but I couldn't look around the room. But I could feel the entity in the room, if that makes sense. I could see it in my mind's eye, and I knew it was there, but I couldn't sort of look to get up to see it. Or, you know, I just knew it was there in the mind's eye. It's a very weird feeling.
Yeah, it's... That was like it angered me more than anything. And around the time of that place, before we actually moved there, when she lived with her parents' first house before we lived together, she figured out that there was like five different ghosts that were following her around, and I think all those ghosts have moved on now. But we categorized them as two children, marked their age of 5 and 6. A boy and a girl, a teen girl, probably in her 14s from the colonial times. Even if she said colonial times because she saw her and she was wearing like a nightgown from that period. An elderly man, I want to say around his 60s. He didn't really cause much problems. He kind of shuffled around the room. But the asshole was this 40-year-old guy who was very obsessive of Megan, like possessive. And when I came into the picture, of course, that caused a lot of problems. And I remember one of the days we were in a room and I started talking shit to him. And then my back started burning. Then I lift up my shirt and I'm like, what's on my back? And I see four scratch marks in my back.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Were these like attachments?
No, they were just like, I guess, ghosts that were following her around. But I'm assuming that the guy was like maybe, a ringleader in charge. But ever since we moved here, he kind of disappeared. And ever since my ability kicked in, yeah, a lot of them disappeared. I think all the spirits that followed her around kind of, she either crossed over or helped him move on.
Yeah.
But not one entity has ever, in the last 3 years, tried to attach themselves to Megan, or let alone try to get to this house with ill intent. So we don't have to worry about that anymore. But I remember that's one of the most impactful things happened in the house. But her going through that kind of like weird, almost possession, that was probably the most scariest thing that ever happened to us at that house. Amongst, well, to me anyway, she had her own experiences that were pretty intense and stuff like that. But small things, shadow figures. One time she heard banging on the mirror from behind. And I was connected to the closet door, and something was in the closet banging on the mirror from inside the closet. And I heard it.
Oh.
Like, I was walking down the hall and I hear bang, bang, bang. I'm like, what are you banging on? And he goes, that was from in the closet. I'm like, what? Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, that house was like bad. And then we come to find out her dad went walking in the woods behind there, got climbed over the fence, and they found a stone wall that was just a perfect height, like a height level, that if you were in the Civil War or the Revolutionary War, you could kneel down with your rifle and have a perfect spot to shoot from that you could hide behind. And he even found bullet holes where, like, musket bullets could go in the rocks.
Wow,
so that might have been a spot where a war happened, hence why all the heavy activity.
Yeah, for sure. That entity that you saw with the red eyes in the corner of the room,
yeah,
could you make out a body shape, or was that just like a mass of...
It was just a shadow, like a black, like, shadow up in the corner. It had no shape other than the eyes that were hiding in it.
Yeah.
And only one other time I've ever seen anything like that was one of our first home cases we ever did. It was for a man named Barry Rick, man with two first names. An elderly guy. I won't say elderly. He's in his 60s. Retired soldier. I think he served in, I don't think, Vietnam. Whatever happened after Vietnam. It wasn't Desert Storm, but anyway. But he was a retired Army guy. And he listened to the show, and he was like, well, maybe these people could help me out. And he told me what happened. He basically explained that his bedroom, every night he would leave, and he would come back, it'd be torn up. Like, his mattress would be flipped, his blankets would be shattered, all his stuff on his dresser, like somebody just went in there, like, slammed everything around, like he'd been robbed. But only his bedroom. And yet sometimes he would see shadow figures standing in the bedroom, and he'd be like plagued with nightmares, like he didn't know what was going on. So I come to find out there's three entities in there. One demon and two human dark entities as minions. Because I've always said they always come in threes. At least that's what I find. Majority of the time, if you have one, there's two others that are working with them. A ringleader and two servants, essentially. But that wasn't the only thing. After taking two of those entities, I find that the ringleader was what me and my wife have coined the Cheshire demon. Because these demons have a giant grin, like the Cheshire cat.
Oh, man, yeah, yeah.
Right? And I've only encountered two. But this one at Barry's place was like a black cloud. It was just moving like a black mass, like a cloud. It didn't have any structure except for the eyes and the giant grin that was in the cloud. And I remember pulling that, putting it in the ring and stuff like that. But also come to find out he had a portal underneath his bed. This portal was built by someone underneath him. And whoever built it left it there, open, consistently flowing with dark energy. So I had to close that. It was one of the first portals I ever closed to. And closed that for him. And ever since that day, hasn't had a thing.
That's good, man.
So yeah, chime in.
Whoever was living under the house was creating that portal and bringing in that bad energy.
Yep.
Wow. You said these entities come in free.
Yeah.
Sorry, going back to the hag in this house. Is there any more, man? Because while I've got you here, I'd like to.
Well, unless we do a typical home investigation that I do.
Yeah.
Which you take whatever device this is that you have right here. Walk me around your house.
Yeah.
You go room by room, place by place, and I tell you to stop, turn left, turn right, look up, look down, and I pull whatever I feel. That's how I know I cleared our house pretty good.
Okay.
But if it's only accumulated to your room, right? Wait, one question. How big is your place?
It's a 3-bedroom house. It's not that big, really, to be honest. I do have other experiences around the house as well. It's not just this room. This is the room that seems to be the one that freaks the family out. And that might be why, because of what you took out tonight, for sure.
Two stories, one story.
Two stories.
I ask because if I know the size and I know how wide to make my net. That was definitely something. Some things.
Oh, man.
Fucking dude. Jacket. I want to say mid-length, not a trench coat. Like, I guess petticoat. He had long black hair. He was tall. He's a guy. Tall guy, mid-length jacket. He wasn't looking at me. He was, like, hiding his face. And a little kid. Oh, not man. A kid. I want to say a boy, maybe, like, 13, 14. Yeah. Why? What's going on?
Do you know JJ Rowe 777? You heard of her?
I've heard of her in other podcasts. Yeah. I don't know.
No. She's been on this show before, and is someone that's helped me out a lot in the past if I've ever had any questions or anything like that. And she told me, so this is what's blowing my mind right now. She told me, and I don't think I've shared this ever on the show, to be honest. So there's no way anyone would know this. But she told me that there was a tall, long, a man with long black hair that was sort of marching around the house. So when you said that, I was like, no.
Well, that's good confirmation.
Man, yeah. Man, that's confirmation for me, that's for sure. Wow. And
the boy was the one in charge. Because it's not a fucking kid. Children often are disguises. And the only entity out there sadistic enough to use children as disguises are, of course, demons. But this one was relatively small. Like a soldier. Like he didn't have a lot of power, but he had enough to disguise himself. Because he was a fucking kid, right? Not like a little kid, like maybe a 10-year-old boy or like adolescent, right?
Yeah.
And it doesn't make any sense. A kid, if I pull with this hand, it's dark. Mm-hmm. So a kid hasn't done enough to be that level of evil for me to pull with this hand. Of course, kids make mistakes and or some might be sadistic, but no, this, if I meet a kid spirit that I pull and put in the ring, I will grab them and I will spin my tendrils around them and ignite them. And because I have elemental abilities with my tendrils, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I can burn away the disguise. And when I burned away his disguise, there was like this big, like fat gutted demon thing with short, like very like goblin looking, right? Like how goblins look, right? Big old gut, like skinny legs, skinny arms, tiny horns, right? Big eyes.
Yeah.
That was hiding in the shape of it.
Wow, and that was in here just now.
Well, it was in your house.
Oh, man. Wow. Because I had, yeah. I mean, I've seen in this house, I've seen shadow figures. I saw a black cat, which looked like a full-bodied black cat run past me. And literally 2 weeks ago, I was in the front room, in the kitchen, and I was just making a cup of tea after doing an interview. And I heard very clearly, Dad, very clearly. And I was like, jumped out my skin. It would freak me out, obviously, and looked around expecting to see one of the kids there. There was no one there. I ran upstairs to see, you know, if anyone was up, if the wife was up. The wife was asleep. The kids were asleep. The dog was asleep. And I was like, what have I just heard there? Like, very clearly, Dad.
Yeah, because what makes you feel comfortable but children?
Oh, man.
Where you picked that up from, I don't know. The only reason they follow anybody, anyone, because I've talked about this, and for someone who's hunted demons, well, I haven't hunted them long. Granted, it's only been 3 years, but I've taken down a lot. And they always give me the same answers why they were after somebody. They're after because of their hatred or their anger or their sadness or their depression or any negative emotion that you could emit or anyone that they oppress. But this one was in charge of the other two. Yeah. It wasn't a man who was in charge. He kind of didn't say anything. He's kept looking down with his dark hair. It's like very black, inky hair, like very long, like to the middle of his back, like inky hair. Always remind me of that, like, no. I want to say, like, ever seen the film, was it Sinister?
Is that where the guy kidnaps the boy? Is that right? I'm thinking
no,
of something else.
That's Black Phone. They do.
Ah, yeah, that Black Phone. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Sinister. Not Sinister. But the thing that had Ethan Hawke in it, and he kept seeing there's like this weird demon thing in the film. The films that the families would like literally kill each other over like, or have them kill. I can't remember the name of it. Anyway, how he looked from behind. That's how this guy looks in the ring. Someone who's watching, I know the film we're talking about. Yeah. I don't know. I can't think of the name right now. I watched it once and there was a second part, but I never watched that one. But no, this thing was in charge of the other two.
Wow.
I'll have Megan remote view
yeah,
to
no,
your
thank
place.
You, man.
Yeah. Lay thank down you. Some protection energy.
Thank you for putting them out, man. Because it's
where the hell did you pick those guys up? I don't know.
Oh,
granted you live, but you talk to a lot of people, so I don't know. I would look into protecting your screen somehow.
Yeah.
Like some kind of protection symbol on the back of the screen. My wife did that for our TVs and our phones. She put protection runes on the back of my phone and then behind our TVs in our house so nothing can come through.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I need to look at. A lot of people say that to me, you know, you've got to be careful. Not that I'm talking to bad people, but anything can come through from anywhere, as you know. And yeah, man. Wow. Well, I'm glad you got them out, that's for sure. Thank you for doing that, man.
Yeah, well, that actually knocks me up to 94 now. 94 confirmed demons in my ring. Shit, I'm gonna hit 100 by the end of this month.
Yeah, man, yeah.
And I got two home cases lined up for this week.
Yeah. Are you must be getting more people getting in contact, and obviously it's going to come to a point where it's constant, man.
Yeah, it might be every day, but yeah. at 30 minutes it takes me to do. Great, you saw how fast I did that, right?
Yeah.
If 30 minutes a call, then I don't know, you think about a whole entire day, or at least 8 hours of it, I can get like 16 people in one day. So
yeah,
it all depends on the severity of the case. Granted, I have one woman who she thinks there might be demons in her home. Who knows? I'm not going to say anything against it until I find out. And another gentleman who's a friend of a woman who I helped out previously, saying he wants to know if there's any like been black magic done to his home. He's had a lot of weird like negative feelings in his home for a while now. After she explains what I did for her and her son, he's like, oh, see if he can help me out. So I'm going to help him out, I think, tomorrow, actually. Yeah.
It's great what you're doing, man. It really is. That was a demon in my house.
He wasn't very high ranking. This guy was like a low level dude, especially like the little one. Always like either if you want to go in ranks of military, this guy was like a private, right? He's like lowest tier you can get, like a rookie to the team. But he had enough ability and knowledge to at least hide himself. So maybe he was working his way up by saying, ooh, maybe I can attach myself to people. If I pretend to be a child, more people let me in, like the age old trick, right? He didn't think anything new. He wasn't thinking anything, a new skill, a new way to get into people's homes. No, he was like, if I'm a kid, of course they'll let me in. They won't try to push me away. Any psychic or medium's coming here that's going to see a child. So, clever, but not original.
Yeah. When you put protection up in your house and you go through them stages of protection, can demons and entities get through that? Or once the protection's there, is it?
Not Megan's.
Yeah.
Megan, when she puts a shield up, it's impenetrable. And she can hear them banging on it like people banging on bulletproof glass. All right? That same heavy dong, 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 dong. And then when I pull them through said shield, it's not pleasant. Very painful to them. It reminds me, the imagery anyway, I can describe to somebody is from Avengers Infinity War when they're in Wakanda. And the Ravagers are basically tearing themselves through the shield, and you see like all their skin melting off, like that. But I'm pulling them through the shield, and you see like their skin like burning away as they're coming through the shield.
Yeah,
or at least a high. Yeah, Megan doesn't tune in because last time she did, she heard it screaming. So, She doesn't often tune in when I'm taking these things that pull them through the shield. And they come from all around. Actually, one was clever enough to go underneath, like in the ground, drill in the ground and pop up. That's how she turned it from a dome into a sphere around the house. So it's 360 complete protection.
Yeah. Man, you guys are powerful.
Wow.
Yeah. And she's good. She can put that kind of shield on someone's house if needed. Like right after cases, home cases, she puts that on there just in case for like, and it should last like, I don't know how what she puts the time on it, but 3 or 5 or 6 months almost. Like we had a person we totally forgot about who asked if we still have a shield up, and she checked in on them like, oh yeah, it's still there. And that was like 8 months ago. So sometimes she totally forgets where she leaves her shields, but they're still there. And the stronger she gets, the longer they can last. She figures out ways. I gave her an idea one time to imagine like a nucleus kind of like energy source, like a ball of energy in the center of the home that undulates and generates energy out from itself. That's hitting the shield. That goes wow, wow, like that. And just keeps like pushing dark entities and energy out of the home, like consistently, like its own power source, essentially.
Yeah.
But she has that. It's an idea I had. I don't know if she can do it. So, but most of the time, if we can imagine it, we can kind of put it into fruition or manifest it into reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like we're both, your abilities are growing and growing and getting stronger and stronger.
It seems to be that way because every time we're met with a challenge, we evolve to meet it the next time. Hence why my tendril, when I grabbed my first high ranking demon, he was able to pull on the tendrils when I was wrapping around him. And I was like, oh crap. And then when I was like, oh, I was trying to pull him stronger, I felt electricity run through my hands. And electric current came through and basically electrified the tendrils, basically tasing the entity, but tasing it with enough power to probably generate a city. So it wasn't gentle. But it basically weakened him enough that I could pull him in without it, you know, getting loose. So it's like my ability evolves to meet the next challenge.
I think I've asked you this before. I'm sure I've asked you this before. When you're looking around through whatever device you're using, whatever device the person's using that's showing you around, can you see the demons, the entities? Can you see them physically there, or is it a feeling?
If I focus it through my third eye, as they say, I can kind of see it, but it's like looking for shadows in the dark. Right? It's not, I don't have 100% clear. Then again, I'm not clairvoyant. Like I can't see entities. If my tendrils are illuminated around it, I can kind of see it like my, almost like the light from the tendrils are illuminating, like almost like a glow stick. So when I wrap around it, I can get a good idea of how big it is or the size of it. So when I'm pulling, I can put it in the ring. But only when it's in the ring, then I can see a clear picture, exactly what it is, exactly what it looks like, everything, all major details. Because most of the time, I'm not caring what it looks like or what it is. All I'm caring about is grabbing it and putting the ring for it a chance to run away. And then when it's in the ring, oh, okay, this is what it is, and then all that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So interesting. I was thinking with when you said the hag that was here just now that you pulled, and you said there wasn't a lot of resistance. Is there a chance that she's heard me and you talk, because we've talked in this room? And I know our first interview I think was in another room, and then our second one was in this room. Is there a chance that she knows what you're capable of, who you are, and that's why there's no point even trying to resist?
I would want to say so, yes, but I have come to find out that all dark entities, all these demons, they do not communicate with each other whatsoever. And the reason I say that is because I've talked shit to them before in investigations. I remember I said to one time, if you knew who I was, fear would be the first thought the second you hear my name. But they, most of the time, they laugh or they challenge me or they talk shit back. They say they're going to end me. Every bad thing you can think of. And yet it ends all the same way. And only until after in the ring, then they start to beg. Then they start to realize what's going on. And they realized that, oh, messing with this guy wasn't worth it. Anyway. But no, they don't communicate at all. And I want to say that I don't give them a chance to even, report back. Because if something sends and it never reports back, they have no idea what happened to the entity. So I don't give them a chance to communicate to even start with. But I always theorize that can't be the same. Like, if they were smart, they would, one high ranker would send like a minion, see what happens to the minion, crap, I want that to happen to me, and leave and report back to the others. Hey, don't go to this guy's house. You'll get taken into his, taken away. I don't know where you go. Even before, was one of the oppression cases, I showed them the ring. I said, can you hear them screaming there? Can you hear your kind scream? Right? No, they can't, because for some reason they weren't able to hear what's going on in the ring.
Interesting.
Yeah, so it's like they have no idea until after it happens. Like, communicating would be easier, because the second you hear the Shadow Walker, oh crap, they run out of someone's house. Imagine me going to someone's house who has an oppression case. I show up and boom, like all the entities are gone. Now, it would be essentially a good idea. People are like, well, what's wrong with that? It's because they got away.
Yeah, they could come back.
I don't want them to get away. I don't want them to leave. If they leave, if they run away, then they can go bother somebody else. They can go oppress somebody else or somewhere I'm not. That's why I always said my only real problem with light workers, with priests, with paranormal investigators, psychics, mediums, anyone who's good at pushing dark entities out of homes. They're needed. Yes, they're necessary. But what you've done is cleared out a home for that person, but also damning somebody else. You've literally made it available for it, whatever was there, to now go to somebody else. It doesn't go back to hell. It doesn't go to another dimension. It goes in the same or third dimensional plane off to bother somebody else. And that's why I'm important, because I end it and I stop the chain of attachment. I stop it. I cut it off. It no longer exists anymore. Everything I take ends up in that ring with no other place to go. Hence why I named the ring Sienna Fergo. No escape.
Yeah, man. When these entities are in the ring, do you think that they can communicate with each other and they've sort of got their own little community in there now? Or is that...
I'm assuming they do, but you put a bunch of prisoners together, are they all going to get along?
No.
Yeah. So I'm assuming some are getting along, but others are probably like, don't deal with me. And everything in there is a demon. There's like a lot of dark human entities and then other creatures that I've come across. Yeah. So it's not just demons and humans, spirits in there. Well, the human spirits outnumber the demons by a lot, because I've lost count of how many human spirits I put in there. Just dark human people, right? Who've lost their humanity and become nothing more than a shadow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
So would that be like a person that's been evil in their life that's passed, and they're just carrying on that dark, evil path on the other side as well?
Well, think about it. If you were an asshole in life, you most likely are an asshole in death.
Mm-hmm.
If you've done evil things and you're afraid of judgment, you stay here and continue on with your evil ways. And you find this, you start losing your humanity altogether. And so people always theorize what shadow figures are. I'm like, oh, they're just people or other dimensional things. No. You look at a ghost, a human ghost, a spirit. They're always white or see-through, right? But when you see a shadow figure, it's always shadows. There's no distinctive features in them. It's always like an outlining silhouette of what it is or who it is. And even when you see a shadow figure that has no silhouette, it's just like a person. Like, imagine wearing like a full body suit, right? No genitalia, no design of if it's a male or female, you have no idea. That's when they really lost their humanity and become nothing more of a shadow of what they were. Yeah, I've come across a lot of those.
Interesting, man. Wow. Oh, man, you've blown me away again, man.
Yeah, well,
three episodes in a row, man.
Yeah. If you want a little bit more, I still got to talk about what.
Oh man, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Let's go. Yeah.
So when me and my wife first moved here from Spring Branch to here from Texas, occasional paranormal things would happen. I think the first one is when our honeymoon, I remember I fell asleep on the couch in the den, and I remember after waking up and I seen somebody standing in the den, like staring at me. I remember I woke up and like, I thought maybe Megan and her grandmother went to like the store or something. And I was just sleeping, I was taking a nap on the couch, and I remember with my eyes, I see someone standing there for a second, I turn and go, oh, there's no one there. That was the first weird thing. Seeing a shadow figure standing at the end of our hall, right here, in the hallway. That was pretty intense. Me sitting in this chair, because you know the door's right behind me, and that when that door's open, it's a hallway, so the hallway's right behind me. And I was playing video games, and I think it was by myself in the house, and I hear footsteps. It sounded like someone wearing like heeled boots walked down the hallway. And it was loud. Like I thought someone was in the house. So I got up and I'm looking around. No one was in the house. That's when we were here, amongst many things. But one of the things that started happening before we even moved here, when Megan's mom lived here, because it's the same house that Megan's mother grew up in. Megan's grandmother saw a death figure walk from her bedroom across the hall into the room that we use now to record in. All right?
Yeah. Like, what did you say that was? A death figure.
A death figure. Like, remember, like Grim Reaper, right? Like,
Yeah.
Walking from, yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And she literally had this house, like, blessed, like, four times over before we moved here. But one of the weirdest things that ever happened is when I got done recording an episode with, it was one of the early episodes. Excuse me. With Carl Johnson. I don't know if you know who Carl Johnson is.
I am terrible with names though. I probably do know.
He was like one of the OG paranormal investigators, him and his brother.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. His team were the ones who told the Warrens about the Conjuring House.
Okay, yeah.
The Warrens never had the Conjuring House for Carl and his brother. They're like, they're one of the OG investigators of that place, along with some other places. But they knew the Warrens really well in their time. And I got to talk to him and his the guy he investigates with now, I think James Anito, and they had a team at the time called Duo Demonology. But that was like almost 3 years ago now, so I don't know if they're still together or not. But anyway, I remember after that interview I did with him, because the recording room was literally the hall, opposite side of this wall right here. And I got out of the room and I went to the bathroom that's in the hall. And I came out of the bathroom, I had the door open. I was talking to Megan. I said, oh, it's a good interview. Asking these questions where I was talking about that. And all of a sudden, she sees it and I see it. This black mass, the size of a cat, run between my legs, which I didn't feel, run in down the hall into the recording room. It didn't have a tail. It didn't have a head. But it was the shape of a cat. It's like the size of one. But it's like a black shadow. It moved like one too. And ran into our studio room.
Wow.
We both stored. Like, did you see that? Yeah, I saw that, right? We walked in the room, looked around. There's nothing in there.
Man. And that was straight after that interview talking about, I'm sure, some heavy subjects.
You know, well, I asked him about demonology and some of his haunted cases and stuff like that. So, but yeah. She's like, came from his place, like, I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, that happened here. But my second sleep paralysis episode happened here in this room. And it's also the second time I astral projected. And both times I astral projected was by accident. So I was sleeping on this bed and I was sleeping on my side. Like I usually sleep like my arms crossed on my side. And I was facing this way, like against the wall. And Megan was, of course, on the opposite side of the bed. And I remember waking up, and it had to be like early morning because the sun was kind of coming through the window. And I felt like someone's hand was in my chest trying to pull me out of myself. And my eyes woke up, and I was looking around. I couldn't see anything. But I was so furious that I couldn't move and I couldn't do anything. I wanted this to stop. I wanted to grab this entity and stop him. And I couldn't do it. I was so angry. And I was like literally so full of rage, I pushed myself out of my body. And I was on the opposite side of the bed. standing in front of this thing, and I couldn't see its face. It was like almost like the Predator. Like, it was see through, but you can kind of still see it.
Yeah.
But I saw it move, go like, holy crap, he jumped out of his body, like that kind of expression. And it tried to run around the bed out of my bedroom door, but I ran up to it. I grabbed this by his throat and I picked it up. And I remember I had both my hands around his throat, started strangling it. If it was a person, I probably would have broken its neck from how much pressure I was putting on it. And I could feel hands on my forearms. Like, I had it up there. It was like, it was trying to shake me loose. And I don't know why I thought of telling Megan, but I said, I got him. But I didn't say it. My body did.
Wow.
Like, I said, I got him, but I heard it from my body saying it. Right. And then when I said that, it like disappeared out of my hands. And then it was gone. And then I felt myself like falling sideways back into my body where I woke up. And wow. The weird thing too is that when I woke up, everything was exactly the same in the room, same lighting, everything. Like that, it wasn't like night and day. Like, oh, I had this, like a dream in daytime. No, I saw it as it was happening in real time.
Wow, man.
Yeah.
So you think
so? I was taller in my astral form. Like, my head almost got clear near the ceiling. I'm 5'10", so that would have to put me like 6'5", 6'6", like way up there.
Yeah.
And I just felt like bigger. Like, I was to pick a guy up by his throat and literally choke him in midair.
Could you see your, as you're holding him, could you see your arms, your hands? Were you like solid in that world? Or
kinda. It was strange. I was so focused on him, I wasn't even looking at myself.
Yeah.
But I could see, like, I guess kind of my arms and stuff like that.
Yeah. What was it? What was the thing that you were, do you know what you was up against?
A human spirit of some kind.
Yeah.
Whatever it was, knew never to go back into my room ever again.
Yeah.
It come into the room after that. And then 2 years later, I get my ability. But what fuels my hatred for darkness? What fuels my sadisticness for demons and dark entities is my son, after my son was born. And he was born in October. I blanked on it for a second. It's bad for me.
I do that all the time.
Yeah. Why did I think November? No, October. Like, he's a Halloween baby. And I think it was January of the next year. So he's no more than 4 months old. Right? Still a little baby. Can't crawl. Can't anything like that. Actually, no less. He was about 3 months old because I remember it was still cold. We put him in the middle of the bed, not this bed in this room, or her grandmother's room, bedroom. And her bed is close to the ground, kind of why we had him in there. So in case he rolled off the bed, he didn't really have far to fall. But we put him in the middle of the bed. She was like, okay, he'll stay right there. We'll leave him right there. He'll hopefully fall asleep. And she was even so, you know, like worried that she put pillows around the bed just in case, right? I was like, he's in the middle of bed. He can't roll over. What do you, and I was like, yeah, just in case. So she put him around the bed. Me and her step into the hallway because we're talking about something, a next interview, something of the essence. I think possibly talking about investigating. I can't remember what the conversation was. But we were no more than 10 feet away from him and no longer in the hall, less than 5 minutes. And we hear a thud, right? We run into the room and he's on the floor face down on the pillow crying. Megan, of course, freaking out, crying and stuff like that, picks him up. She was worried, like, how he got off the bed, how he did like that. We noticed the blanket we wrapped him in was still on the bed. And it didn't make any sense. Why? How did a baby who didn't know how to roll or crawl, who was wrapped in a blanket and up on the floor in that short of time, but the blanket's still on the bed that he was wrapped in? The only conclusion came was something pulled him off the bed to do so. Megan, after the incident was over, confirmed that because she said, she wasn't thinking of it at the moment, but she felt when she ran into the room an immense amount of evil in the room, an evil presence. So, from that day forward, my hatred and my anger got so strong with him that an entity would do this to a child who hasn't spoken a word, whose innocence beyond anything, because they haven't lived long enough to do anything, would do this to them. Why? Because they can and they want to.
Yeah.
They want to feed off that depression, that sadness, that rage, all our negative emotions that they want more than anything. So that from that day forward kind of led me into the path I am now. And once I got my ability, it was over.
Yeah. Yeah.
And now my campaign, my conquest, whatever you want to call it, this war has already started. And now I'm going after all of them. Hence why I came on your podcast. I've gone in a lot of podcasts because I want people to hear this story. The more people know of me, the more people I can help. Because I know there's people out there suffering right now who don't know who I am. Or maybe they'll listen to this podcast. Who knows? Who are desperate to find help. They've had investigators. They've had priests. They've had shamans come over to their house. And nothing has gotten better. It's actually gotten worse. But a simple 30-minute call with me, and I do it for free, it's over. It's done. It's gone. It's like it never happened. If I can give someone that amount of peace, right, my life is fulfilled. Yeah.
It's amazing what you're doing, brother. It really is.
If I get one small piece of advice to a lot of people that I've been hearing a lot, people talk about different investigations. When I hear investigators or psychics or anybody tell you a piece of advice when you go on investigations, when you tell an entity to not follow you home, that only works with human entities. That only works with nice human entities. It kind of might work with a dark human entity if you're stern enough, but with a demon, who are you to tell them otherwise? If you're in a location where dark entities of high levels of power are, you tell them you're not allowed to follow me home, they're going to laugh in your face. The two reasons why they would go after you in the first place is because they either see you as prey or threat. And if you're either the or, they're going to follow you, they're going to attack you, they're going to oppress you any way they can. So you telling them to stay away, go away, is not going to do it.
Yeah.
That's why I always tell people to bring protection with you when you go on investigations, to bring some kind of symbols or stones or anything that you would think would be repellent for dark energy. Because words are just words to something that has never been human.
Yeah.
Yeah.
These things are just pure, pure evil. I mean, we can't imagine like hurting a baby like that. One of the worst thing you could do is hurt a baby, a child, you know? And then, oh, man.
I know the parents' worst nightmare, especially every parent in the paranormal community. 100%. That's something that attacked a child.
100%, man. Yeah. Well, that's why I was quick to get my kids out of the room where they didn't feel safe. Perhaps I should have looked into this and asked you before. I should have done. I should have asked you before, man.
Really?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. But thank you for that, man. But yeah, hurting the kid, that's the, I can see why that would trigger the anger. You know, someone messaged with your kids. Yeah, that's it.
I've always had a strong stance against injustice, right? I can't, I don't like bullies. I don't like seeing injustice happen. Yeah. I've always said I have a hero complex. Like I always have to be the good guy. I always have to do the right thing. I can't allow things like that to happen. Mm-hmm. And I come to find out a lot of people with ADHD, like myself, have a sense of justice, or they can't stand injustice when they see it. So I'm like, oh, I guess that makes more sense now. But I keep explaining to people that with my ability the way it is now, and the fact that I'm so strong, for me to sit on the sideline now and not do anything with it feels selfish. Like I remember me and Megan, our recent episode on our podcast, we talked about spiritual awakening, right? And one of the lines I said in there that she found very like prominent and like profound is when I said, your gift, if you're a psychic or a medium, is a gift. It's not a curse. It's nothing like that. It's a gift that was given to you. And if you put it away, you hide it, you don't embrace it, you don't look into it, regardless of what anyone tells you, if you basically throw it away, that's a detriment to your existence. That you need to start using it because you have an ability to see to the other side, to communicate with spirits, communicate with whatever else is out there. More so, depending how far you want to go down the rabbit hole.
Well, brother, you are certainly a superhero. And you're helping, you've helped me, you're helping a lot of people. And yeah, man, it's amazing what you're doing, brother. So I'm watching your quest and I'm rooting for you, man. That's for sure.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
Yeah. Well, I think we'll round this episode up, the trilogy. I definitely want to get you back on for a fourth one, that's for sure. I know that's the record. I know it's
three episodes on one podcast is the tie. And if Kevin's listening, that would be the tie. He's with you. Because the only other person I've been on three times is Kevin's podcast, Where the Weird Ones Are.
Yeah, so. Shout out, Kevin.
Yeah.
Absolute legend. So yeah. we've got to book you in quick to get you in for the fourth.
Yeah, that'll be his record.
Yes. Well, Isaac, thank you so much, man. Thank you so much for clearing my house and helping me tonight as well. I really do appreciate that, man. Thank you very much.
The problem is what I do.
And to anyone listening that might need your help, that wants to listen to the show, can you tell them where they can find you?
Yes, you can find us at Hidden Shadows Podcast, or at least, sorry, Hidden Shadows Podcast. You can listen to it any on your podcast forms, anywhere you listen to podcasts, you know, Apple, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcast, you can find Hidden Shadows Podcast. You can find our socials at Hidden Shadows Podcast on Instagram, Hidden the Shaw 6 on X, Hidden in the Shadows Podcast 2 on TikTok, or links to all our social media, and always listen to us at HiddenTheShadowsPodcast.com. Also, we have our paranormal team page, Hidden the Shadows Paranormal, on Instagram and TikTok, I believe, as well, both Hidden Shadows Paranormal. If you need help with any cases or anything like that, you can message us through Instagram, TikTok, or email us through the website. I believe we also have a Facebook, too, Hidden Shadows Podcast on Facebook. I don't use it much because I'm on Facebook. The missus is, so she'll most likely respond if you message us through there. But if your best place to get hold of us, I would say, is Instagram, because we always check it. And then, of course, if you email us, we'll see it as well.
Awesome, brother.
Now, I say, no case too small, no case too big for us to handle.
Awesome stuff, man. Isaac, thank you so much, brother. I'm looking forward to doing the fourth one with you very soon. I'm going to book it with you straight after the show. So thank you very much, man. And thanks for listening, guys. We will see you very soon. Thank you very much, brother.
Thanks for having me.
Let's get freaky.
Something's in your room. You can't move. It's a horrible, horrible feeling.
You know, you're looking out into the darkness and then you see a figure, but it's darker than the darkness.
I just get this like really creepy feeling, and I see this like shadowy, demon looking figure in the front seat of the car.
She used to come into my room at night and stand right by my bed, and I just was petrified.
I remember I saw something fly by my bedroom window. We heard the bathroom door shut. So then we looked out my bedroom window down the hallway and the bathroom door was wide open.
So we came around the bend and we saw Eyeshine. This thing stood up. I mean, it stood up. And it had high pointed ears. It had a snout, had a long arm, and it grabbed the deer. What?